Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Jim Dinley, Sitka's municipal administrator since 2008, has resigned. The news came after an hour-long closed-door meeting of the Sitka Assembly last night. It's expected to become official sometime today when the city cuts Dinley a check for severance pay. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Dinley will get 120 days of severance pay. That amounts to roughly $56,000. It's in line with the terms of his contract, which says if the assembly terminates Dinley's employment, he's entitled to the severance. While Dinley technically resigned, Mayor Mim McConnell says it was a mutual decision.
His attorney and our attorney negotiated his resignation.
The end of Dinley's employment with the city comes after an unfavorable annual review last week. It also follows a 2-week suspension imposed on him after the assembly investigated a complaint filed by a city employee. Details about that complaint have not been made public, except that they involved inappropriate comments Dinley apparently made. But McConnell says the decision to part ways with Dinley is unrelated to that incident.
It's unfortunate that those two events happened so closely on the calendar, and that was just, to me, that's just a coincidence. I mean, his evaluation is something that's a date that's scheduled annually and had nothing to do with the disciplinary action.
I understand that concept,
but
clearly, I mean, that's an event that happened in the last year that you were evaluating, so it must have factored in at some point.
I suppose it did to a certain extent, but I think that there were feelings already there.
Assemblymember Tor Christensen says, from his perspective, Dinley's resignation has been coming for a very long time.
There's been some people who have not been real happy with his administration and things he's done in his administration, and the number of voices has been increasing over a number of years.
Evaluations of the municipal administrator have taken place in executive session. So exactly what specific issues the assembly as a whole might have had with Dinley remain, for now, confidential. Dinley declined to comment as he left last night's meeting. He said at least until he signs his severance agreement. Christensen said he didn't want to speak for the whole assembly, but for him, management style was the biggest issue.
In terms of nuts and bolts, the way the city is run, Jim has always been very good on making sure that all the numbers crunch and everything sets up good. So there's no issues there. But with interpersonal relations and between the city and other entities in town, our relationship could be a lot better.
Sitka has a chain of succession in place for who runs day-to-day operations in the absence of the administrator. The duties, for now, fall to Public Works Director Michael Harmon. In his absence, it is Finance Director Jay Sweeney, and in his absence, it's Utility Director Chris Bruton. McConnell says it's possible the city could hire an interim administrator, but that they also wanted to consult with Harmon first.
We'll also be talking with our HR Director, the Human Resources Director, Mark Danielson, and get the ball rolling on finding a replacement for our administrator.
And one more thing. Dinley's resignation comes right as the city is beginning its budget process, which the administrator usually shepherds the assembly through. McConnell said she's not worried about dealing with the budget in Dinley's absence.
All three of the gentlemen that would be possibly stepping in as acting administrator are all capable people that have a pretty good idea of what's going on in the city, and I think it's going to go fine.
For all the turbulence Jim Dinley faced in his final weeks with the city, he also had some support. Former Mayor Cheryl Westover came to his defense at Tuesday's regular assembly meeting, saying he's put the city in much better shape and has built a strong staff in City Hall. And right before they voted to accept his resignation, assembly members took turns praising his work over the last 5 years.
I just wanted to say that I respect you as an individual. I trust you, and I recognize your integrity.
Yeah,
so thank you.
I would just like to also publicly thank you, Jim, for all you've done for me.
Things change, we move on, but I appreciate the work you've done.
You did the job that needed to be done when you first came in here, and you did it very well. We got all these projects
the
going.
Last few months have been hard for everybody, and especially for you, I'm sure, but that's just how life works sometimes, but I do
accept it.
I do appreciate the good work that you've done, and I think that Sitka needs to recognize it. And
although the city has outlined Dinley's severance pay, his actual severance agreement is not yet public. It will be released to reporters after he signs it. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The vote was 5-0 to accept Dinley's resignation. Assembly members Michelle Putz and Mike Reif attended most of the meeting by phone, but had to hang up before the vote could be taken. You can hear Mayor Mim McConnell's entire interview with reporters after last night's meeting. It's posted on our website, kcaw.org. Senator Bert Stedman calls this year's rollback of state taxes a gift to the oil industry. And while he's not unhappy with many of the structural changes to the oil tax scheme in Senate Bill 21, he says the numbers just don't make sense. Stedman was one of 9 Alaska senators to oppose the bill, which passed by a margin of 1 vote. He outlined his reasons for the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week. KCAW's Robert Woolsey attended and filed this report.
Bert Stedman has always been a numbers man. That's why Governor Frank Murkowski appointed him to the Senate 10 years ago. His defiance of his own party's signature legislation this session was more mathematical than political. Stedman told the Sitka Chamber that the costs of extracting oil from Alaska's legacy fields, Prudhoe Bay and Kuparuk, were high but not uneconomic, about $30 a barrel. Given the price of oil, he couldn't make sense of the $1 billion-plus annual tax break.
Oil today is at $100. You don't need to move $1.7 billion. It doesn't fix anything. So it was, in my opinion, quite a gift to the industry. And they have not come forward and expressed any definitive terms on or timelines on what they're going to actually produce.
The Parnell administration and even Stedman's own Republican majority frequently contrast declining production in Alaska with current booms in North Dakota and in Texas. The economics of producing oil in the developing world were also debated this session. Stedman pointed out that Alaska had the only publicly owned superfields in the world. Oil development in the lower 48, on the other hand, was taking place in areas where mineral rights are privately owned. As for the Third World, Stedman said the costs of obtaining oil in Arctic Alaska were high, but there were advantages.
We don't have revolutions, so you got to recognize that. We have a stable judiciary branch. You got to take care of that. We've got shipping transportation across the Pacific that can be protected by our U.S. Navy. We don't have to go through choke points. You got to take into account that. You certainly have to take into account one of the top 10 most prolific oil fields on the planet. This is not North Dakota.
Stedman said Alaska's North Slope could be producing for generations. A citizen initiative to repeal SB 21 is already in the signature gathering stage, with the hope of having a question on the ballot for the August primary election in 2014. Although the initiative is the brainchild of Democrats hoping to put the unpopular tax breaks before voters, Stedman is on board.
I'm going to sign that thing if it comes around. That's my opinion of it.
Beyond the math, Stedman is concerned about the impact the loss of over $1 billion a year in revenues will mean for the state. He said Rail Belt legislators were circling the wagons and had no incentive to back issues important to coastal areas, like the Alaska Marine Highway. He and 4 other senators from the Republican Majority Caucus organized a new caucus around coastal communities this year. 5 doesn't sound like a big coalition, but in Alaska's 20-member Senate, it's enough.
Well, once you have 5, and there's 15 in the majority, it doesn't take a mathematician to figure out you can't get to 11. So to move something without one of the coastal caucus members agreeing and moving on with that issue. So that changed the dialogue internally within the Senate. Changed their attitudes, quite frankly.
Stedman says the reduction in oil revenues will force the state into deficit spending for several years, drawing down its $16 billion in reserves. As money gets tight, he expects the Coastal Caucus will ensure that rural and urban areas share the pain equally.
So as this group coalesces and comes together, you'll see some of our rural issues on the table. Or we'll just hopefully start blocking and shutting down the system.
Stedman said he'll continue to push for funding the Blue Lake Dam expansion in Sitka, primarily through working with the Alaska Energy Authority. A driving course at the Public Safety Academy, the Mount Edgecombe Swimming Pool, and a road to Catlian Bay all remain priorities for him. Stedman's financial discipline and ability to cross party lines on major issues seemed welcome by the Sitka Chamber. Asked by an audience member if he would ever consider running for governor, he replied, "The Republican Party is heavily dominated by oil service industry contributions." That pretty much puts it in a nutshell. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
You can listen to Senator Stedman's full remarks to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce at our website, kcaw.org. The revised Sea Alaska Land Bill will have its first Senate hearing today. The Chamber's Energy and Natural Resources Committee's Subcommittee on Public Lands will take up the measure. Alaska Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich are co-sponsors. A separate but similar bill, sponsored by Congressman Don Young, is in the House. What's called the Southeast Alaska Native Land Conveyance Act would transfer about 70,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest to the Regional Native Corporation. Supporters say it's a much-negotiated compromise, completing Sea Alaska's land selection promised under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Opponents say it gives away valuable timber stands and threatens environmentally sensitive areas within the Tongass. The Sea Alaska bill is one of 20 public lands measures listed for hearing today at 10:30 a.m. Other bills on the agenda address boundaries for Utah Indian reservations and a New Mexico National Forest. Still others concerning grazing rights and wilderness designations in other states. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. You are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka.